Once you step into the creative box, you could realize the ability to help these folks that do need your help. And I think that it's becoming more mainstreamed, especially in this market, that it's just a lack of education and really understanding those basic things. Also knowing that you can do it and why you're helping a seller out this way.
We were probably programmed that you had to use a realtor, you had to go to the bank, you had to get your credit checked, you had to qualify. And that's how I was brought up. Once I learned creative finance in 2016, I just discovered FIRE. Once you really get it, it's been life-changing.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Jen and Joe Delafave, I'm excited to have you here. How are you guys?
Doing awesome. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Good. Yeah, you bet. Well, hey, we all started someplace. How in the world did you guys get your foot into real estate?
Grew up as a landlord's son. A lot of tough areas, learned a lot of what kind of didn't like to do at a young age. Got lucky. I got a course on real estate investing on an infomercial from Ron LeGrand in the year 2000. I was 22 at the time, was broke, had no money. And it said how you could buy and sell real estate being broke with no money. So that was right up my alley.
You're like me.
Yeah, it was like this was speaking to me directly. Yeah. And I had the VCR tapes, the audio cassette tapes, the book. Within a few weeks, I read it all and had a house under contract. Did exactly what it said. I didn't reinvent the wheel. I stuck to the basics of what this it said it worked. And I wholesaled the deal. My first house I ever owned, I double closed on it, made $15,000. And when you're that young, you think you struck gold. And I felt like it because I, once again, earlier was broke. So getting a check like that was beautiful.
My experience has been there's a lot of people who will get the stuff, let's call it, and they don't do anything. And that's not because they're lazy, but a piece of it is they don't believe they can do it for whatever reason. What about that, as you went through that, allows you to believe that you could do it?
I'm stubborn.
Yeah.
I just, you know, if it says it could happen, I just don't stop. Right. I grew up where if I wanted something, it wasn't like I could ask mom and dad for a new pair of shoes and the first day they just give them to you. You had to ask for sometimes months,
right?
Consistently. So I think of, you know, our kids are brought up the same way. They'll ask mom and dad 100 times for something, right? But then as an adult, we tend to stop doing that for some reason. And so I think if you just take it back to even my, you know, 8-year-old, 7-year-old kids, they'll ask 100 times. So once again, I found out what worked through Ron LeGrand, and I just did what it said until it worked.
Kind of bring me over the course, you know, from that point up, you know, forward a decade, what did the world look like for you?
So I get a job where I'm in finance for dealerships. I bought a house, been still watching the real estate market as it's taking off in the mid 2000s. I meet this lovely young lady in 2008 who also owned a house. She was a teacher. And in 2008, when the market was really taking a big snap, that's when her and I started buying houses together.
And that was one of the first email exchanges was he told me he was looking, he wanted to do some work on a house. And I'm like, why would you want to do that? I did, you know, Fixer Upper, all those shows weren't around back then, but yeah. He was already, you know, in January 2008, like ready to get going with the housing again.
So we started buying some properties then. We didn't know what BRRRR was. But being in finance, I knew everybody at banks. So I had access to cash. I would do the BRRRR. I didn't know, but that's what it was.
Yeah.
And we were scaling that way. And then realizing at one point, the banks will kind of shut you down or at least slow you down, make it really hard. And the whole process was really just kind of a pain anyways, because it's months of work for one property. We started looking for other alternatives. And back to Ron LeGrand, here he comes again, full circle, 2016. He talks about what he calls the pretty house business, which is basically creative finance of all the different ways to buy and control real estate without using banks, without having to get your credit checked. At this point in my life, I've got great credit. I've got great jobs. I've got the money. Yeah. So it was way better, right, than it was the year 2000. So this is where we found that advantage and just started, once again, doing what he said. And it works. And so we were able to scale from there.
Focused on the creative side.
Looking at every deal as a case-by-case basis, but knowing I have this tool in my toolbox was the game changer for us. And then after we realized that you are correct, we really started diving in deep in there. So a lot of the deals that we'll make qualify for a cash deal, right? The numbers all work well, but sometimes those sellers are even open to creative on that side too. So we make sure we ask 100% of the time now as a part of our process, and we'll, no lead goes untouched, right?
Yeah. So what I heard you say was two things. One, that you look at every lead with eyes wide open. You're trying to monetize every lead in any which way you possibly can.
Yeah. And, you know, we find a lot of folks who, they want to sell their home. They're in a situation. And some of these folks just bought a house a month ago, 4 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, right? And if some of these folks who just bought this house and put the very bare minimum down, especially someone in the last year, they probably paid over asking, right? And as the market is turning right now, some of them are trying to list on the market and they're not selling. They can't even sell it for what they owe. They're in a situation where these folks who need to sell, cash doesn't work. So what's the other alternative for these folks where cash doesn't work? A realtor is not even working in this situation. What else do they have? Are they going to become an accidental landlord and start renting out the property now because maybe they've already moved out of state for a job or some other reason? So the creative side, where that house is, you know, turnkey, these are our favorite deals. And if you understand how you could work with a seller to make it a benefit to them, how now you could structure it in your business to make it work for you, these are the best deals around right now.
Yeah. So let's talk about, we'll get the seller benefits here in a second, but I want to talk about what are the different ways in which one can buy on a seller finance, on a creative finance. I know it's infinite, but maybe the top three to say, here's, you know, the avenues in which you can go down.
Like you said, there's an umbrella with creative finance. There's a lot of different avenues. If I'm buying a property and it's for what they owe, there's what's called subject to the underlying debt. We prefer to buy it on a wraparound, which mirrors that process. So it's pretty close to the same. It just has some advantages for down the road. We have a deal that we're working on right now that it's a sandwich lease purchase, right? So a lot of times if I'm going to buy a property, I might at least have to cover closing costs. And in some areas, that could only be a few thousand dollars. Some areas, that could be $10,000 or more.
Right.
That could really slow it down. So sometimes in some circumstances, it makes more sense to do a sandwich lease purchase to where now with just pieces of paper, I control some real estate. I could lease this with the option to release it to somebody else at a higher payment and at a higher price. And I have the ability to also sell it to them too. So that's another great avenue, especially for folks if you're just getting started out, or maybe there's some reasons why it's, you know, better to do that method. I prefer to buy it subject to or with a wraparound mortgage, but there are some advantages the other way.
Let's talk about, I want to break that piece down on the lease side of things. Is somebody, you know, they're, you've got a motivated seller, they want out. What you have done is gone in, you've negotiated a lease. You're leasing the property from them for a defined period of time at a defined dollar amount, typically per month, right? At the same time, you negotiate the right to release it, to lease it to someone else at any other terms and conditions you so choose. And then you also have the option with the defined price to buy that property, therefore giving you the right to sell the property to someone else.
Correct.
Got it.
Absolutely.
And so you're negotiating, ultimately you're building in a delta spread there between the lease rates and then ultimately a spread between the your strike price, your option price, your ability to buy it, and then the ability to resell it.
Yes. Yep. And so this is one of our favorite strategies. And with the exit strategy there, we prefer the lease purchase or the, you know, famous rent-to-own model. Mm-hmm. So where we put in a tenant buyer who gives us a non-refundable option deposit. They're going to be paying monthly rent. They're responsible for maintenance and repair, so it's not on us. And they're knowing at one point down the road, they're going to need to get qualified for a mortgage. We screen them to make sure we know what we're working with. We have time frames. If they don't fall in that time frame, we'll give them wiggle room to work with them. We don't kick them out. But in all honesty, some of these terms that we're getting from sellers, they're giving us a long term before we have to get them cashed out. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I was always taught, Jen was always taught, it's you don't kill the goose that lays the golden egg.
Right.
So we don't really rush them. We just, if they're good people and they're paying on time, they never hear boo from us.
Yeah. When you say long-term, how, in that sandwich lease structure, how long are you typically negotiating a lease for?
It depends on the seller's situation. And so sometimes in their spot, they might want to get cashed out in 5 years. Some say, get me cashed out in 10 years. Hmm. Some, if they have no equity, they don't care at all. So then what I'll do is I'll write the purchase price as my purchase price is the loan balance at the time of execution. So what I just dropped right there is super important to know.
Yes, it is.
So I don't agree to one price now. In the last 10 years, I paid it down. I'm still have a super high price, right? So right. I want to make sure when I'm executing, that's the contract. So some folks who just want to walk away, we'll write it for the rest of their term and get them cashed out whenever we can. And obviously there's an incentive for us because eventually we do get a really nice back end check. But if the seller's in no hurry, we aren't either.
Yeah. No, I like that structure to where you're getting the benefit of the pay down. You're essentially paying the mortgage anyway by virtue of paying the lease. Therefore, you're deriving the benefit of that reduced principal balance, right, on the loan and buying it for whatever that price happens to be at the time you happen to be buying it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Okay, cool. You're doing this in multiple locations?
Yeah. So we do a lot of our marketing all online through social media. We are averaging around 130 to 150 incoming warm leads a week.
Wow.
So through that, we have a team in the US and our job is to, I was at the office today, popped out to come here for this. So I'm happy to be here because it's beautiful and I got to skip out on a Friday. So I'm thrilled to be here even extra. Yeah. But we have an office here in Florida and we filter through these leads as they're coming in. We're doing all of the follow-up through automation. So all of the old leads that are coming back in, there's a lot going on. It's like I'm swimming in the ocean and people are pouring buckets of water on our head is what I compare it to.
Yeah.
But it's a grateful thing. So we are sifting and looking in all states. So there are a lot of these states that we're getting deals from and a lot of them that we're going to close in. And then there's sometimes we might find a really good deal in a state that we haven't done business or we know friends that are there and we could assign it to them. So we do those often as well.
How do you, in a state that's not yours, right? Not Florida, someplace else, you buy a deal and you take it down on a creative finance structure. How do you fill a tent with a tenant with or with a contract buyer?
So even when we were doing deals in our own backyard, we were doing it all virtually anyways. Yeah. Even during the pandemic, you know, if we bought a house on terms, we never saw it. We take photos. All of our houses, we've only been to a handful of them. I don't go to them. So even to this day, you'll really hardly even catch us going to the houses because what we'll do is we'll buy them virtually, videos, photos. And then what we do is we have a team that where with these photos, we're putting them all online. We put signs up in areas. We'll have a lockbox put on the door. We'll do virtual tours while showing the property. Yeah. And then once we find the right person, we send them the paperwork. They have it closed with an attorney and then they move in. We never see them. They never see us. It's been wonderful.
Have you been to the vault? RealGritVault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. RealGritVault.com. Ever been on the show who's brought everything? It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com. What does the team structure look like?
So when you do message us, two of our team members are in the Philippines and our opening script is really not a fancy script. It's a list of questions. We call it a script because I have to call it something, but it's a list of questions that we've designed where they're a little super easy and then they get a little bit more detailed as it goes on, but there's only maybe 12 questions. So it's not hard. Once you hit get quote or you reach out to us some way, our VA's job is one task and that's to get all of the answers answered and then pass them along. Mm-hmm. Next, we have our acquisition team. Our acquisition team is now going to filter through those conversations, kind of sort them into three different columns of the really know what's going on in this situation. You know, somebody who's just, I want to know what my house is worth. We had one today. The guy wants $1.8 million for his house in Florida, and he just bought it for $500,000 2 years ago and did nothing to it. And it's not even worth half that. But, you know, with that, that goes into a special column for those people, right? Not an emergency. Then I have the folks who are saying, yes, I have some motivation going on. I have some pain going on. I'm open to selling for cash or finance. We book that with a closer. And one of our closer teams, including myself, will call that. We'll iron out the terms. Then we have the middle category of either people who said maybe or they've said no, but where we sense there is some pain or motivation. And maybe if they had a little bit more clear understanding how terms works, it would be a good fit for them. And that's where the acquisition team gets on a call with them. And we're going to talk to them, have these conversations, and then sort them out. Is this going to the no category or is this going to be passed on to a closer? Or should I follow back up with this person? And then we have a really amazing IT person on our team who helped build our CRM out. So we have so many different follow-up features to where even if you set an appointment with us and you ghost us, I'm going to call you at 2. and you don't answer your call at 2, now I have to track you down. Nope, we just put you into this one sequence and it will, you'll finally call me. It's like, hey, so sorry, because it just, it hunts you down. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. And once we could take that off of all of our plates and really just focusing on helping people, it's made life a lot easier.
Is it a custom CRM or just custom inside of a major platform?
It's custom inside a major platform. We use High Level.
Oh, okay.
But it's been really easy to tweak what we needed to do in different sequences to the point where even with our oldest leads in the CRM, at 9:30 a.m., we do this one blast to 75 of them. So we have all of our new coming leads, but then 75, it's like, hey, we haven't chatted in a while. I know the market's slowing down, but I'm still looking to buy a house. You know, have you sold your house or is it still available? And then next, you know, your CRM blows up of it's sold, and then you take them out, or no, it's still available. And, you know, then we get back in the conversation.
Yeah,
so
you start working it from there. Yeah.
Oh, it's just insane. And so at 9:30, from like 9:30 to 10:30 in the morning, between following up all the overnight leads and then the major blast goes out, it gets nuts.
Tell me on the creative side, from when I talk to people, a lot of people think creative, it gets complex, it gets challenging, they get somewhat fearful to be able to even step into that arena, but you guys have leaned into it naturally and have mastered it. What do you think holds people back from going there and really focusing and diving in and getting as deep into this and making it a staple of their business as you have for yours?
So it's understanding the fundamentals of how it works. It's understanding the structure of how to structure what's a good deal or what's not. It's understanding how to ask the right questions to the seller. Those are really the three things.
And then I think too, it's also the belief in the ability to do so, because everything is so conventional and we're taught one way. And once you step into the creative box, you can really realize like the ability to help these folks that do need your help. And I think that it's becoming more mainstreamed, especially in this market. We'll hear more about it and you'll see more of it. But I think that it's just a lack of, like Joe was saying, education, you know, and really understanding those basic things, but also knowing that you can do it and why you're helping a seller out this way. Like that was a really aha moment for me when I saw, as we went through those first deals, I'm like, these people really did need our help. You know, she was behind on her mortgage and her credit had taken a huge hit. And then we were able to help her regain her credit and she could move on and not have to worry about this house that she couldn't afford.
Yeah. Jen, speaking of education, you know, I know, and I agree with you, is that there's been just a lack of education. There have been some main people, you know, Ron, as you mentioned, who's been around forever talking about creative stuff, but there's still a tremendous hole, a tremendous void in the environment. And I agree with what you just said. There is a much bigger push. It's going to be a waterfall. Tremendous amount of people and deals will be bought creatively because they have to be bought creatively. We're in an environment where interest rates have doubled in a year. Values are falling. And in some places dramatically, but they're falling, they're coming down and who knows where it lands, but interest rates aren't going back to 3 anytime soon. So one's going to have to think outside of the box and come up with strategies in order to help people. And I understand you guys help from an education standpoint to be able to get people, you know, elevate their business to add and tack this on to what they're already doing.
Well, and that's the key. It's really like what you said, it's the education, it's sharing what's working currently. And we're currently in the business. We're currently doing it daily. I have hobbies, but some of my hobbies is real estate. Yeah. So it's like, not only do I get to work and do it, but it's also like part of my play too. So like if I see cool houses, I'm prop stream looking stuff up all the time. It's what I love to do. So when you could find these strategies, to me, it's like chess. But when you learn the fundamentals of creative real estate, and there are really a handful of basics, it's not overly hard. And if you think about it, go back 100 years ago, you were a farmer. And I was the neighboring farmer and I want to buy some of your land and you're going to sell me off 20 acres of your, you know, how many hundreds that you own. And a lot of times I wouldn't walk down to the local bank. We would work out some type of agreement and I'd pay you in monthly installments for your land. Right. So we were probably programmed that you had to use a realtor. You had to go to the bank. You had to get your credit checked. You had to qualify. And that's how I was brought up. So once I learned creative finance in 2016, I was like, this is a thing. I looked at her like, holy cow, I just discovered fire, right? Yeah. And then once you really get it, it's been life-changing.
Well, there's a huge percentage of transactions that take place on a creative basis. And I don't think people have a concept of that. I'm talking billions and billions of dollars in this country that transact on a creative, what one would call creative, as if a seller taking payments is somehow creative, right?
It has a fancy name to it, but it's really nothing. It's creative because you could design the terms to whatever you want. You know, you write the pen, you have the pen, So do I have a 0% mortgage? Do I have no payments for a year? Do I have escalating payments? Do I have, you know, there's so many different ways you could structure it. So it's, that's pretty cool. But like what you said, people are buying single family homes that they're either using as rentals or investment properties. Some people are using it to buy their house to live in for their family. Mm-hmm. Some people are using it to buy multifamilies. And then some people are buying businesses using seller finance. Mm-hmm. So it's not just with real estate. There's a lot of great things you could use it for.
Seller finance and the businesses. You're totally right about that. That happens frequently.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. To the point where it's almost common, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We have in the small business world, right?
We have some of our past students right now who are closing on a manufacturing business this week, I think, or maybe she's going to be next week. I just talked to her. So fingers crossed all goes well. But yeah, she's doing it with seller financing on a manufacturing business. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. When you guys look forward to 2023, we're recording this the first week of December 22. And when you guys look forward to next year, where are you guys headed? What's it look like in your world?
Well, part of us moving to Florida is we definitely want to map out what our next year is going to be.
Yeah.
As far as vacations, as far as traveling.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you know, spending time with her and I together, as far as mapping out what our desires are in businesses. We're really excited because we are in the Florida market now that there's a lot of great events that happen throughout here. So the Family Mastermind's happening this year in the spring. Can't wait to go to that. There's a ton of other great events. We're just looking forward to networking with a lot of other investors too. Like, this is why we're here with you, is like, it's just great meeting folks who are in the business, who are active in doing it, and just sharing, you know, and exchanging recipes, right?
Yeah. I just got back from a women's retreat as the Wire community, and it was literally life-changing, like getting into a house with a bunch of women who are like-minded. And it was just the energy and the amount of aha moments that happened there was absolutely incredible. And I came back and I was like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And we just started taking action in it, you know? So on my radar, I definitely want to be hosting retreats, be attending more and getting in person a lot more as well. Because like Joe said, during the pandemic, we were very much at home and did a lot of virtual, which most people did. But now it's time to go out and live and explore. And really, we also homeschool. So I'm really looking forward to traveling with the kids. I have Europe on my vision board. I'm not sure if 2023 is the year, but 2024, definitely is get them over there for a month or two, right? And to have that ability to have that little bit more freedom. So right now it's growing our business in down south of Tampa, really getting people in place down here. And we're really looking forward to expand and grow for sure.
When did you guys make the permanent move?
Just July.
A handful of months ago. Yeah.
So we are typical Floridians that we came down here for vacation in the spring. Literally, it was for 1 month. And then it turned into 3 months. And then we're like, we're not going back. Went back up to New York, sold our stuff, our house.
5 days. I highly do not recommend doing that. It was a little insane, but I wanted to be back by my birthday and we made it. July 25th. We were back down here celebrating. So.
Wow. That was great. Yeah, no, that's really incredible. And it also speaks to the power of when you do what you do in the have the ability to do it anywhere, you have the choice to live any lifestyle you choose.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, when we were in upstate New York and Jen had her teaching job when we first met and I was working in the dealership in the finance office, we had dreams of moving to Florida, but unfortunately it wasn't like, you know, like everybody else at upstate, it's like when you retire.
Yeah, right.
Right. So I'm way far from retiring.
Right.
So that's why this was a blessing. When COVID happened during the pandemic, my job was paying me very, very well. And Jen walked away from teaching to be with our kids growing up. And they closed the dealerships when we went home. This is when we decided to not do it part-time, but to go full-time. And then since March 2020, we've grown full-time, grew a team. And that's where our business just really changed. And if it wasn't for Creative Finance, where we could buy all these houses without using banks and not using, you know, a ton of money in all these different ways, this is what made everything work so amazing. And then having the ability to travel and to move and to work anywhere, we just work down here and we're like, wow, our team is doing fantastic while we're in Florida. While we're here working, it's not vacation, we're here working.
Right.
But if, and I said, if we could do this here, we could do it anywhere. Why not move and go back to the freezing cold?
But it's so important to note, like, we're here today, but it was just Joe and I, like 2020, March, April, May, June, July. And one of our mentors was like, you have to hire people. You guys are not going to be able to do this full time without doing a couple of key things. And that's when we took the initiative and, you know, first hired a couple of people and then slowly but surely grew our team. So I feel like it's important to say that it's not like it just happens overnight. It took years to get here, and there were like seasons of hustling and grinding. And then there's also where you can kind of pump the brakes a little bit and realign and then go full throttle again if you want to get to that next level. So it does take efforts.
I like the word you just used there, season of hustling and grinding. That's not a world to live in. It's not an environment to live in. It's a season to live in.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's terrific. Now, I understand you guys coach, you guys teach for people who, you know, on the creative side in a big way. So tell me a little about that and what you guys have coming.
Yeah, absolutely. So we love giving back. We love going live every Tuesday. We go live in our, well, I guess it's in a Zoom, but Creative Finance Playbook with Jen and Joe. And then we throw it up on our YouTube channel. So that's our website, Creative Finance Playbook. And we have some little things to dabble in if you're interested in more education pieces. We do private mentoring. We took a pause right now just so that we could really focus on rolling this really exciting program that we're going to have launching in January. It's going to be a 3-month Creative Finance Playbook program. So we'll really walk you through from mindset pieces. So talking, like you said, how do you even get into the frame of mind of doing creative, all the way through, you know, what to say to the sellers, what these deals look like, breaking those down, exit strategies, and so much more. So we're really pumped for that.
That's some fun stuff coming. When you guys look through down the next couple of years, do you guys have any goals from a X number of units? Or is it really striking a balance between, you know, what you want to do, how you want to live and work?
So we definitely want to, and I needed, and I'm your typical workaholic, like I was saying earlier. So I really want to work on a balance of work. And I think what happened is we were working from home for a long time.
Yeah.
So home, your office is always home. You're always at the office, right?
Correct.
So moving into an office made us much more productive. So the days and times I'm at the office, which is the Monday through Friday, at that time, I'm 100% focused, not on taking the dog out, not taking the kids for a walk, right? I'm at the office and this is what we do. But then when I leave the office, I'm able to really focus on not doing work, right? So our goal, no matter what, for next year, with the way that the economy is changing, to do 100 deals next year, I don't think it's going to be extremely challenging to do. And I think it's going to be a lot easier to do, especially with the fact is, you know, a year ago, folks were just saying, Joe, I'll put my house in the market. It's going to sell opening weekend for $30,000 over. Correct. That season's long gone.
Yep.
So now for those folks who can't do that, what all alternatives they have? So we just get real good at getting in touch with these folks and being nice, knowing how we could help them. And it's going to be a fantastic time. So, you know, the more people that we could help, obviously, you're going to make some money along the way, which is great. You're going to allow like, cool stories along the way too, a lot of interesting stuff that you'll come across. We could just probably make a fortune on writing a book.
That's one of my goals. I definitely want to write our stories down. So I just feel like there's a lot to share for sure.
But I think closing 100 deals next year, which is really, you know, 8 a month, is going to be definitely in the wheelhouse. I think it could go much more than that. You know, obviously you have a fallout. If you write X amount of deals, some go to title and don't work out. I've got one now who's got more liens than they're just keep coming out of the nowhere. Yeah. So oh, I didn't know that one either. And I didn't know all these. So, you know, some of them don't go, but if we could legit close 8 a month, that's good.
How many times have you heard the title company say, I've never had to deal with something like this?
We have this great title company. They've been doing it for 30 years. The lady who's there and she's like, I've never seen something like this. And I'm like, you have to stop saying that to me because we hear that often. Yes, some of these situations that you hear down here are quite interesting.
They can deal with people. You never know what to expect, do you?
Right, exactly.
From people who've stole houses, like forging paperwork from, you can't even imagine. Well, you could. You've been doing it well, you could, but there's always great stories, right?
Right when you think you've seen it all, you see one more thing, right?
Yeah.
Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford said it. What about that resonates most with you guys?
100% mindset. And that's what I love about it. I take Henry Ford and his methods into our business a lot. Of even how our process works. So your mindset is 100% going into anything is going to be your success or failure. Mm-hmm. And if I think I can do this, I put the action behind it and put the plan behind it and plan and do all the right things, I can do it. So I have the mentality, this is going to work no matter what. And I don't know any other way. And then if you think I'm going to try this out and see how it goes, you're already going to it something with the wrong mentality. So when we coach students, and especially as we become busier, our time becomes more valuable. We want to weed out students who don't want to put in the work, right? So once again, I don't like working with folks who have to have the right mentality. And so just based on what you're saying a second ago, you're right. It's 100% true. You can do it if you want to, or if you talk yourself out of it, you're not going to do anything. So we have some students who are flourishing and really killing it because they have that same mentality.
I was on a phone call with one of my realtor here just a couple of days ago, and we were negotiating a house sale property. And I said, well, are you going to get this done or what? She said, I'm trying. And I got a little cheeky, and occasionally I'll send this to her. And it's Yoda, and it says, do or do not. There is no try.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true, though.
Yeah.
You hate to super simplify, but it really is that simple.
Well, and that's why having the right folks in your team are crucial. Yes. So everybody's on the same. Our title company is amazing. Like, I can't give these folks enough props. Like, the lady who runs it, she is so, like, she will find a way. 8 o'clock at night, she'll call me. She's still working on it. Like, same thing.
Either you do or you don't. Buyer backs out at the last minute and you're scrambling to find $1 million property buyer, you know, with the grit you have to have, you have to believe that you can do it, even when everyone else says you can't.
Yep, there's no doubt about that. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Probably not having a mentor or a coach, I would say, because if you're not surrounding yourselves with those who are doing more and actually doing the business, then it's easy to slip into the comfort zone or just to kind of like be average. That, you know, I really believe in that. Like, the company that you keep, that's where you reflect.
Well, and these folks have blazed the trail.
Yeah.
So they've laid out the blueprint of what is possible. Mm-hmm. So like all these other investors that I see who are doing way better than us, I love seeing that. Not as a bad thing, but as like, this is what we can do too, because what you're going to realize, nobody's special. We all get dressed the same in the morning. Yeah. We all brush our teeth. We all do the same stuff, right? Whatever they can do, you can do too, if you have the same mentality and the same knowledge and things like that. So use it as an example of what you can become too. So I look up to these people and look into them of what made them get to where they are. Rather, I'm paying them to be at their coaching programs, right? Or reading their book or whatever it is, but this is the case.
Most people just quit too soon. It really is that simple. Mm-hmm. You know, that 3 feet from goal. We love Thinking Grow Rich, and I'm rereading it right now. And so just that whole notion of like, you were right there. And if you quit, like, you'll never get it. But if you just keep pushing a little further, like, you're gonna, you will get it. Just keep going.
Yeah. You know what? I read some piece the other day. It was like, you know what? How does a company become the biggest company in the industry? And it's as simple as they survive. There are time periods where you just have to be around long enough. And what's the old saying? The harder I work, the luckier I get, right? If you're just around long enough, just things happen. You're like, I can't believe this. It's incredible.
If you look at Apple stock in the early 2000s, guys, you'd be really shocked at what the prices were.
Correct.
You'd be shocked.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. For both you guys, outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
I would say spending time with my family.
I was going to say the kids. You know, yeah. I was a teacher, and so being able to homeschool them and just watch them grow into these amazing human beings, you know, that time is really important to me.
How old are the kids?
They'll be 8 and 10 in January.
All right. Fun.
We're taking them to Disney for the first time next week. We're so excited.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yeah. I've got to work with a lot of successful people, and the one thing they all say is that they missed their kids growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're older, the kids have moved out, you can never get that time back.
Correct.
And so I really try to focus on, because I'm a normal human and you forget to stop and smell the roses. So I really try to make sure, like, I stop when I walk out of the house in the morning. I'm going to go speed through traffic to get to work. And I'm looking at the sunshine, like, I'll stop and I'll pause for a minute and just smile. Like, how happy, you know, we're blessed to have this. And then spending time with the kids just to do the fun things. That's really what I'm passionate about. That and cool cars. I love cars.
Do you have a fun one?
I've had plenty, and that went to more of the family mode right now. But now that we don't have snow anymore, I'm plotting what the next one will be ahead.
Yeah. You got broad exposure, I would imagine, being in the car business for as many years as you were.
Yeah. I don't have any habits but cars. So it's like I was equivalent to being an alcoholic working at a liquor store. Because you love it all, right? So like for me, it was seeing all of these cars and being around them for my whole life. Very expensive.
Yes. It is a spendy habit. There's no doubt about that. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
So actually, it's so funny you say that. We've just moved to Florida. And what we're going to start is, it's a sneaker program for kids. I grew up at times where my family was struggling, didn't know. So in upstate New York, we had a lot of snow. You get a lot of rain, especially all year, just about. So there were times where I had holes in my sneakers. And, you know, I'd have to ask my parents for a new pair of shoes. And maybe they didn't have the money at the time. So there were times where I literally had my shoes glued together to get me through a few weeks. And, you know, I'd be at school all day long with wet socks. So I understand that just having a good pair of sneakers on your feet when you're a kid could be the difference of, you know, having a good day or not. So I want to start a sneaker program for the community here for kids who maybe it's the beginning of the year or not, and they just have a regular pair of shoes and mom and dad can't afford to get them a new pair. You know, yeah. We're going to start something like that. I have a friend back in New York who started doing it, and it was really cool. He gave me a lot of great ideas of how to get it started. And, you know, he buys a crap ton of sneakers and just gives them to the kids. And that's been awesome. So
that's cool. Well, see, we launched our Real Grit Vault here just a handful of months ago, and it's been great. I understand you've got a contribution to the vault. So the cost of entry sheet into Creative Finance Deal, that's your contribution vault. Tell us a little and the listeners a little about that.
So your cost of entry is a worksheet that's extremely important when you're working a creative finance deal. This is going to be your factor when you're working every single deal is what's the cost of entry into the deal. So we provided a worksheet that we use every single time to be able to see what the cost of entry is. Because if I'm working a deal and you're going to buy it from us, the first thing you're going to want to know is how much money do I need to close on this deal? And then what's my rate of return on my money? So I need to be able to provide you those things. So cost of entry, if a seller wants $5,000 down or $10,000 down, it's not just that. You've got closing costs, holding expenses, insurance policies. So we have this worksheet that we designed that will touch on all of these things. Once you add it up, there's your total. And then when we're analyzing and underwriting a creative finance deal, when I'm pulling rental comps, I need to know what I'm going to cash flow. I need to know what the cash flow is. And then we work a cash on cash return. But the very beginning of it all is, you know, having your rental comps, knowing what your payment is that you're going to be paying, and then your cost of entry is going to be key. So when you're going to be either selling me a deal or I'm going to sell a deal to somebody else, I'm going to sign it for yourself. These are the things that are important to know.
No, it's great. Tremendous contribution. I know it's people are going to get a lot out of that. To get that, www.realgritvault.com. You guys can get that there. Say, for anybody who wants to find you guys, they want to follow you, they want to learn more about you, where can they go? What should they do?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website again, creativefinanceplaybook.com, and that should pop up with our YouTube channel. And I'm on Instagram a little more than this guy, but he's on there too. Jen Delafave, Joe Delafave, Joseph Delafave. We're on Facebook, and then we have a great community on Facebook with almost like 3,000 people in our group that are chiming in and learning about this. So, you know, there's no stage of the game that you are not welcome, whether you're brand new or you've done a million deals and you just want to learn creative. You know, it's a safe zone there, I like to say.
Yeah. And the Creative Finance Playbook with Jen and Joe is a private Facebook group. Anybody's welcome. But that's where a lot of the deals that we're making, especially the ones that we're going to assign, we share them in that group. Mm-hmm. We do free education piece every Tuesday where we get on a Zoom and we go over various topics of either how we're finding these deals, a lot of the recent deals we've made. So we've explained to the audience, you know, how we found the lead, how we structured the deal, why this turned into this deal, and then what's our game plan with it, mm-hmm. or what we've already done with it. And we share these real examples. And I always feel like the best ones are the ones that you're currently working on. Every week, we always have a lot. So we have a lot to share. So that's been really great too, because a lot of the folks who attend these Zooms are also buying our deals. Mm-hmm. So we're training and teaching them how to make these deals on their own. But part of it is we also assign them and give them to them on a silver platter already buttoned up, which they also love. So help educating, teaching has been...
Yeah, it sounds like a benefit on top of a benefit there, folks joining the group. They get to learn how to do it and then play them, pick up a deal from you and just go straight implementation. It's great.
That's the name of the game, right? We got to educate them. And then when they see a deal come across the screen they like, they might say, hey, I want that one. And we walk them through the process. We have a great transaction coordinator on our team, Chelsea.
We didn't even finish our team, but
yeah. But so our TC is amazing. She is like nonstop. Yeah. So, you know, when we do these deals, we make sure that if we are assigning this to a buyer, we set them up for success.
Yeah. You're not off on an island by yourself.
Yes.
That's great. We'll make sure all the links you just referenced will be below in the show notes for everybody there.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Jen, Joe, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to connect up here. It's a tremendous topic. It's a fun story to hear what you guys have gone through. I mean, tremendous success and growth over, 2 years' time, somewhere in that range. I mean, just a wonderful story. And then you guys, you know, go for vacation, go for the sun, you know, stay for it all, right?
Never leave.
I'm not leaving.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time to connect, guys.
Thank you so much. It was great being on.
Yeah. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology and times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge how to 20X your profit. Lesson one's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast. Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off-market 20X profit deals coming to you. The cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing on 20X profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving that passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com, 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now, register. It's totally free. 20xprofitchallenge.com, and I'll see you in the challenge.